Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gann, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. If you have an opinion, a number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at Blog Talk Radio. .com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can follow the show on Twitter at GoForItGAN. Today we're expected, and this could be possibly our last show, and the last show for a lot of people to ever listen to, because as we all know, 6 o'clock today, this could be the end of the world. Just kidding, just a joke. But anyway, we're expected to be joined by free agent defensive end Styles G. White. Styles played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season, and also we're expected to be joined by New Orleans Saints offensive tackle Jermon Bushrod. And Jermon, again, he's also a free agent, but with the lockout being a lockout, we'll see what happens. But more than likely, Jermon will be re-signed by the New Orleans Saints, but he's going to join us as well. And also a street ball legend, Kit Kat. Kit Kat comes from the Florida area, so Kit Kat's going to stop on by, and he's going to talk about the street ball thing and his grind and how he's doing. But again, this may be the last show ever. Jeremy, how are you today?
Well, I was doing fine, Paul. Now I'm a little nauseous. I mean, you make me sick. I mean, I'm going to put that out there. You know, I don't know what your problem is. I mean, maybe you need to pray, but let's act like we're 34-year-old men. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we can act that way, but I choose not to. And, you know, I respect those who do act that way. But, you know, so
hey,
for some people, go ahead.
How about those Oklahoma City? You know, I gotta say, Paul, I mean, these young guns. I hate to say this, but if I was Dallas, I'd be a little worried right now.
Well, if I was Dallas, of course, you got to be worried about any opponent that you play, because they are an opponent, and they are the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they are a very good basketball team. But I'll say this, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're a young basketball team, like you pointed out. But I just don't think the Oklahoma City Thunder are ready for what this stage at this point. I mean, I think they'll compete in this series, which we already have seen. And I believe that this will be a tough series, which we have seen to this point. But I just think the Dallas Mavericks, with Jason Terry, with Dirk Nowitzki, with Jason Kidd, and all those guys chasing championships at this point. And Dirk Nowitzki, he's playing like a total monster and a beast at this point. I mean, 48 points in game one. I mean, he was off the charts. And he played like one of the best players in the game. And Charles Barkley called him the White Mamba. So that's a lot of respect there. But, I mean, he played the game very well, and he had a great game one for the Dallas Mavericks. But I'll say this. Oklahoma City Thunder, they're a young team. They're a very good team, and they're going to make this series a tough series. But I just don't think it's their time at this point. And speaking of that game, you had the situation with Russell Westbrook. I mean, he didn't play the whole fourth quarter, and they turned to Eric Maynard, and Eric Maynard delivered. I mean, he played some big-time basketball for the Oklahoma City Thunder in that game, and was one of the reasons that they won, along with James Harden and Kevin Durant and Nick Collison as well. I mean, they got great bench play in that game, too, and that was a game that I saw Oklahoma City win it. But again, it's a long series. It's a very long series. But when it's all said and done, Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, Dirk Nowitzki, and the Dallas Mavericks, I believe we'll be getting it done and we'll be making a berth and a trip to the NBA Finals. And hopefully for them, they can wash away what happened in 2006. And for Jason Kidd, maybe he can wash away those his two appearances to the NBA Finals with the New Jersey Nets and finally get through and get a W. But I see it right now. Oklahoma City Thunder, they're talented. Kevin Durant, arguably one of the best players in the game. And when it's all said and done in the next couple of years, Kevin Durant could be the best player in the game. Russell Westbrook, one of the better point guards in the game. And when it's all said and done in the next couple of years, could be the best point guard in the game. But I think at this point, this team was fortunate enough in the first round. They got Denver. Denver is a good team, but, I mean, a team that was very beatable. And they avoided the San Antonio Spurs in the second round and got the Memphis Grizzlies. But I'll say this. It's just not their time in Oklahoma City. It's just not now.
You're crazy, Paul. I mean, I'm going to say that. They're young enough to not be fazed by all of this. And you can see that because Westbrook, while he is certainly not playing well, I mean, the team is rallying. And they have, I mean, arguably the fourth best player in this league on their team. And you look at Westbrook, who is only going to be able to play better. He can't play any worse, I think, in this series. And this team is unfazed by that. And they are, because of Durant can almost take Nowitzki out. And so because of that, you now look at both teams, and undecidedly, I mean, to me, there is much more talent, you know, on Oklahoma than in Dallas. Dallas certainly has the experience. I mean, they have the know-how. But overall talent, I think you look at Oklahoma. And I say this, and that's why I will put my hat on the fact that they will make it, you know, to the NBA Finals, that is Oklahoma, because they're young enough to not be fazed by everything around them. And if they would have been, you'd see Westbrook tanking, and you're not. And that's, I think, what you're seeing. And Brooks, I think, is doing a spectacular job in the media, not making not even allowing this to even be part of an issue. He is decidedly with his players, and he just continues, I think, to not give the media any room for any criticism whatsoever, which is a very smart move.
Definitely Scott Brooks to do what he's done in this series. Definitely a smart move by him, not to get caught up in the nonsense and all the drama that's coming with Russell Westbrook. I agree with you there, but I just think at this point, Dallas, I just think right now they are the better ball club. And you say talent-wise, Oklahoma City is the better team. I think Dallas is the better team, and I just think Dirk Nowitzki is playing like the best player in the game. I mean, 48 big ones in Game 1, and he came back with 29 big ones in Game 2. And I just think Jason Kidd, he wants that championship. They're getting great bench play from Juan, from Jose Juan Barea, a.k.a. J.J. Barea. I mean, they're getting great bench play from Jason Terry. And Peja Stojakovic is coming out of the woodworks, and being the sniper that he is, he's doing his thing. So I just think Dallas, when it's all said and done, they have the home court, which is big. And I just think right now they're the veteran team. They're the more composed team. And I just think when it's all said and done, they're the better team. And when it's all said and done, they will go to the NBA Finals. But again, Game 3 is tonight, Game 3 in Oklahoma City, a tough place to play in. I mean, those fans, there's some great fans in Oklahoma City, some great fans, and it's turning out to be a fairly decent NBA city. And this is a team that is 30-11 at home, and Dallas is just as good on the road at 28-13. But we'll see what happens tonight. But I like the Dallas Mavericks to win tonight, and ultimately I like the Dallas Mavericks to win this series in a tough, hard-fought seven-game series. But again, when it's all said and done, Dallas Mavericks will be in the NBA Finals, and they will be rematching, in my opinion, the Miami Heat. And speaking of the Miami Heat, what a game two. Well, let's start with game one first of all. I mean, game one was one of those games with the Chicago Bulls. They came out, and they came out tough, and they came out strong, and they came out hard. I mean, that dunk by Taj Gibson. What do you think about that dunk? And before I go to the Taj Gibson dunk, I forgot the Kevin Durant dunk. I mean, that was a big-time dunk over Brandon Haywood that, to a lot of people, changed the course of that ball game. But that was a big-time dunk by Kevin Durant, one of the best dunks in these playoffs. Agree or disagree?
No, I mean, yeah, it was probably one of the best dunks of the year. I mean, but listen, I don't get too hyped up on a dunk or a shot or any of that. I think that's why I told you, Paul. I mean, you certainly have picked Dallas. I look at Oklahoma City. I think Durant. Everyone's making a lot of hype of LeBron. I think sometimes people forget about Durant. I mean, he is equally as talented. I look at him in the same likeness of a young Garnett, but I mean, certainly I think you can see earlier in Durant's career, he's been surrounded with a lot more talent, and I think his outside game is a little stronger than Garnett's was, at this point for Garnett.
Well, definitely. I mean, in a lot of ways, they're different players, too. Kevin Durant can do a lot more off the dribble, is more of a finesse player than Kevin Garnett was throughout his career. But, Kevin Durant is arguably one of the better players in the game, definitely. And like I said before, when it's all said and done, 2-3 years from now, Kevin Durant could be the best player in this game. You're definitely not going to get an argument from me about that one. No. But I want to let's go back. Let's go to the Chicago and the Miami Heat series. And I want to look at game one. I want to start with game one. Chicago routed the Miami Heat 103-82. You got big bench play from Taj Gibson. He had two big time dunks. He had the dunk over D Wade. I mean, it was just that was just nasty. And then you had the follow up dunk late in the game. I mean, Taj Gibson came in, gave them energy, defended them well. I mean, blocked LeBron's shot, did a great job on Dwayne. Well, whoever he was switched out on, he did a great job on. I mean, Taj Gibson was the star, one of the stars of game one, and that whole Bulls bench was were stars of game one. But also, Derrick Rose was Derrick Rose in game one, 28 points in that one, 6 assists. And also, they got production from other guys, and that's the key, production from the other guys and other starters. Carlos Boozer, 14 points in game one, and Luol Deng with 21 points in that game one. And you looked at it, Chicago just killed the Miami Heat on the boards. I mean, it just demolished the Miami Heat on the boards. 45-33 advantage, I mean, including 19 offensive rebounds for the Chicago Bulls. So they dominated the glass in game one, and ultimately that domination led to the Chicago Bulls winning that game 103-82. And a lot of people when I saw that game and seeing that game, I saw a Bulls team that was just defending like no other team had. I mean, they were defending very well in that game, and they were closing off all driving lanes for LeBron and for Dwayne Wade, and the Heat just looked very ordinary on the offensive end during that particular ball game. But game two, they made adjustments. Talk about game one of that series, Jeremy.
No, I mean, You and I think we both recognized early on in the playoffs, it does look like Miami is playing on a different level. This is certainly because of the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the way that they played Boston improves, that they're moving on. They are showing what I think, we had talked about this, I think that, you know, the player in all this that really has yet to really get his just desserts, is going to be Chris Bosh. I think you're going to see him really starting to come into his own on this team, finding, you know, his groove. Because I always think long term, especially for this organization, Bosh is going to be their missing link. It's going to be hard for teams to really stay matched up over time against a player like Chris Bosh. You could do it, I think, quarter in, quarter out, but not game in, not game out, and certainly not long-term in the series. I think Bosh is going to be a difference maker. And, I look for him, and he's kind of done that so far in the series. He's played very well, and I think he's played very strong.
And definitely Chris Bosh, I mean, 30 points in game one. I mean, he had a very good game one. for the Miami Heat, one of the few players that did show up in game one for the Miami Heat. But you're right, Chris Bosh is going to be the key in this series. Chris Bosh is going to have to play well for the Miami Heat ultimately to win. But in game two, going to game two now, you look at game two was about the clutch play of LeBron James. And LeBron James down the stretch, I mean, you saw the Chicago Bulls, they tied the game at 73. LeBron James, bang, big-time three-pointer. LeBron James, another jump shot just like that. The Heat are back up five. But LeBron James is starting to kind of change some things about him right now. I mean, a lot of people question his clutchness in the regular season, his clutchness overall. I mean, if you look at it in the Boston series, in that game five, LeBron James, 10 straight points down the stretch for Miami, and he essentially put that ball game away. And then you look at game two of this series, LeBron James stepped up, hit the big three, stepped up, hit that big jumper. I mean, LeBron James pretty much salted the game away for the Miami Heat. The game was tied at 73, and you saw that the game was changing. You saw the complexity of the game changing. You saw the momentum with the Chicago Bulls. And one big play in there was that dunk attempt by Dwayne Wade, which was blocked by Ashiq from the Chicago Bulls. And Ashiq at the point, Omar Ashiq at that point, was giving the Chicago Bulls a lot of energy in that particular ball game. Ashiq went out because he had blood all over his chin. And after that, you look at it, the game was tied at 73, and from there, the Miami Heat took off, and they saw that the game away. But if you look at this series at this point, and I've said this about the Chicago Bulls, or excuse me, the 2001 76ers with the Chicago Bulls, remind me of very, very much, as Derrick Rose goes, it's as the Bulls go. And if you look at game two, Derrick Rose, 7 for 23 from the field. He struggled a little bit, wasn't knocking down his layups, and he finished the game with 21 points. But also, if you're looking at that game, Dang, who had 21 in game one, had 13. Boozer, who had 14 in game one, now had 7 in game two. This team is very Derrick Rose dependent, and that's the scary thing. They are too Derrick Rose dependent, and I've said this throughout the whole playoffs about the Chicago Bulls team. As Rose goes, is as this team goes. And Derrick Rose, he struggled in game two, and subsequently, this team struggled in game two.
Well, I mean, and absolutely. To me, Paul, I think we've talked about this in the past, and I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting offseason for this ball club. You know, I think they've proven they took the number one seed during the season. They have MVP. Boozer, albeit with some injury issues throughout the season, but I think slowly it's certainly proving a worthwhile commodity. They have young talent. I mean, Dang is and I mean, they have a great nucleus, but certainly they definitely need, you know, the valve, the safety valve, because you know, you, as much as I hate to admit, when Paul makes a very good point, or certainly a very good comparison, and you really have. I mean, this is Rose is becoming an Allen Iverson performer. Maybe not the type of player or with the off the, you know, off the court antics, but certainly his on the court play resembles that of Allen Iverson, where, you know, they're, I mean, the team is very dependent night in and night out on his ability to play at not a high level, but at MVP level. And, you know, you can't be an MVP every game, every season. And you can't have that on a team, because what you'll get is, and it's been proven, as you saw in 2001 and throughout basically Iverson's career, is that you'll have a great career. You'll have a Hall of Fame type career. Certainly, you know, get the accolades, go to NBA final, or two, but you're not going to be a contender. I mean, you will essentially go, just like Allen Iverson did, from, you know, being a contender to basically a, you know, a pretender. The team knew going in with the Sixers that, you know, shut down Iverson, and basically you're going to win. It may take 7 games, but you're winning a 7-game series.
Well, and I think the same thing goes with Derrick Rose. And the Chicago Bulls. I mean, if you look at it, you got to look at it this way. The Chicago Bulls have to get production from others. They have to get production from others, and it has not been consistent throughout these playoffs. It has not been consistent. And with not having that consistency, without that consistency, the team has struggled at certain parts and certain points of this playoffs. And they were very fortunate in a lot of ways, Chicago Bulls. They earned the number one seed, and they were very fortunate to get, obviously, an Indiana Pacers team. An Indiana Pacers team that pushed the Chicago Bulls a little bit, but an Indiana Pacers team that, again, 8 games under .500 going into the playoffs, and a team that, in a lot of ways, very beatable, and a team that they're expected to beat. Second round, I thought if they got the Orlando Magic, they would have had a tougher time, but they got the Atlanta Hawks, a team that, in a lot of ways, a team that, you know, the Hawks may push you a little bit, but a team that was not ready to take that next jump and that next step. And the Bulls were very fortunate to get those two opponents and give the Bulls a lot of credit in Game 1. In Game 1, which I put it on Twitter, I predicted that the Bulls would win Game 1. I knew they would come out with a lot of energy and a lot of fire, and I think they would come. I thought and knew they would come out with that, you know, we got a lot to prove mentality, and we're going to show you that, you know what, we are the better team, and we are the number one seed, and there's a reason why we are the better team, and there's a reason why we are a number one seed. And so they went out there, and they proved and to everybody that, guess what, they are the number one seed. And then Game 2, give the Miami Heat a lot of credit. Give them a lot of credit for coming out and coming through in that Game 2. It was a must-win type of game, and that's what championship teams do. In those must-win games, they come out and do the things that they have to do to be successful, and those things were LeBron James down the stretch doing his things, players and the team doing a better job on the glass. Like I said, they were killed on the glass in Game 1, killed on the glass. I mean, they did a lot better job in Game 2, and they have to continue to do a better job as the series goes on. But if you're a Bulls fan, I think one thing you can hold your hat on is what you have been doing on the boards, and obviously your advantage on the boards with Noah and Boozer and Taj Gibson and those guys, and Ashik who comes off the bench and gives them good minutes. The Bulls have a lot better shot than I thought they did going into this series. I'll have to admit that. I mean, because I said it here last week, I didn't think the Bulls had a shot. But they have a lot better shot than I first thought going into the series. But I just cannot see them getting the consistent production from the other guys.
You
Paul, not Rose.
Really, Paul, you really believe that, I mean, forget about Rose, but you really believe this Bulls team is in a seven, if it were, it's not, I mean, and it's really not going to go seven games. I mean, you think they have a shot this year, this Bulls team?
Again, I don't think they'll win the series, but what I'm saying is I thought that, I mean, I didn't think the Bulls had a chance in the series. But after watching Game 1 and watching Game 2, this team does have a legitimate shot, and they do have some advantages here. And if they can defend like they've been defended, like they defended in Game 1, and if they can continue to get, like, the rebounds in terms of the offensive glass and in terms of the glass in general, Chicago Bulls have a decided edge there. And I don't think that's going to change at any point in the series. You would have to agree with that.
Absolutely. I think you have to remember. I mean, but you're looking at rebounds for a team or again rebounds against a team in Miami that's going to shoot high percentages. I mean, anytime three of their players want to get to the foul line, they're basically just going to stand at the foul line. Meaning, they can get to the basket. This isn't a team that, to me, they have three players that will beat you off the dribble at the drop of the hat. So, I mean, when you look at having this edge on the glass, that's great, but they can throw every defender against them in foul trouble. If their game plan is to get, you know, for example, to put Noah in foul trouble, it could be done very easily.
Well, yes, but I mean, did you see that suffocating Chicago Bulls defense in game one? Did you see how they pretty much shut off all driving lanes, shut all windows and doors, if you will? I mean, they really defended in game one. You have to look at it this way. The Bulls do – I mean, they have a shot. Again, I don't think they'll win the series. I think the Heat will win this thing in six. But don't sleep on the Chicago Bulls team. They do have home court advantage, and they do have a decided edge in terms of big men and in terms of the offensive defensive backboard. They have an edge there. Now, again, will they get enough production from everybody else? Derrick Rose is going to have to continue to play like an MVP if he wants this team to win this series. He has to continue to play like an MVP if he wants this thing to continue and if he wants Chicago Bulls to move on to the NBA Finals. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Chicago Bulls moving on. I see the Miami Heat, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and those boys taking that next step and going to the NBA Finals. I just see it happening. I don't see how Chicago Bulls can get it done. I see it a lot more than I saw it last week, but I just don't think it changes anything. I just don't think it does. Switching gears now to the thing and the topic that we just cannot get away from, and the thing and topic that just will not end. The NFL lockout will continue. The Eighth Circuit Court has made its decision 2-1 in Minnesota. They have decided to keep the lockout on and to keep the lockout going. The next hearing is scheduled June 3rd. But all in all, when it's all said and done, the reality of the situation is we don't have football just yet, and football continues to be locked out. Bottom line, it continues to be locked out. And an interesting quote by Damora Smith, the leader of the NFL Players Association. Listen to this. It's a disappointment, obviously. But as far as we can tell, this is the first sports league in history who sued to not play its game. Congratulations. I don't think he can say it any better. I just don't think he can say it any better.
Well, I think, Paul, what's interesting is, I think that the NFL Players Association definitively is going to really they're going to be very thankful that they selected Smith to represent them. He certainly strategically, I think, has done 120% a better job than anyone could have imagined. It's amazing in terms of his ability to come out, I think, at the right time, and I really think he says the right thing. And that was an important statement to be made.
I mean, definitely it was a big time statement by Damora Smith. I mean, he's basically
it shows absolutely positively to me that this league is being held hostage by the owners, that the players, they're willing to basically work through their grievances while playing, while being in business. And I think that is a very important piece and won't be lost in all of this.
Well, definitely. I mean, it's sad that we can't see football. It's sad that we're in May and we're not talking about mini camps. We're not talking about OTAs. Guess what? We're talking about a stupid lockout at this point. And a league that, again, has been very profitable, very, very profitable, very profitable during these rough and tough economic times. I mean, how can you it's just mind-boggling at this point. I mean, granted, I understand that, you know, the players, I mean, the owners, they feel like they want a better situation. They feel like that the current system, for whatever reason, is not working for them. I don't see how. I mean, I don't see how. I mean, do you?
Well, I've always said that, Paul. I think the owners in all of this, they have the most to lose here. You know, Drew Brees was on another interview last night on ESPN. They featured, you know, their 11 o'clock Sports Center, basically saying that, you know, again, the players, they were happy with the deal they had. They weren't looking for much more than just basically to sign basically the same agreement on an extension. And to go out on the airways that the players have is basically to say that, you know, but it's the owners that wanted up. The reason a lot of this is happening is because the owners want more. The owners want us to take a pay cut and to try and make the players relatable now to the layman when they are basically coming out. You know, Drew Brees said that, you know, it is a battle of billionaires versus millionaires, but, you know, these billionaires want more. And again, this country has seen where the rich are continuing to get rich. So, you know, the owners are not doing themselves from a PR standpoint. To me, I would have almost said if I was the owners, well, okay, if you guys want to go out and play, as long as you could agree to play the entire season without a real labor agreement in place, you know, put some kind of a temporary solution in place, it was a smarter bet than to do this, than to sit around and basically do nothing, which is at day 67, you know, of the lockout.
And it is, you said at day 67, I lost track of, well, I mean, what day it was and how many days this thing has been going on. But it's obviously been going on a little too much, too longer than it should have been. It's just, I mean, I guess, I'm pro-player in this whole thing. But I guess, you know, if as a business owner, you want things to be kind of in your favor. And, I mean,
sometimes as a business owner, though, Paul, you have to realize that, especially if you're not selling a product, they sell a service that, you know, in the service where you're in a business, the people sometimes are more important than the business itself. And that is basically the NFL, unfortunately, or most professional sports in a nutshell, which is essentially, you know, it's unfortunate, but it really is not the NFL that makes it so valuable. It's the players. So to that end, you really, unfortunately, have to look at that.
I mean,
you know,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're like, look at Jeffrey Lurie. I mean, where is the Eagles team going to be without, over the last decade, a Donovan McNabb? I mean, when he bought this team, just remember, he was 2 years before they were playing with Coy Detmer. I mean, so it gets to a point where, again, you really want to remember, you know, it's the players that put these teams on the map. It very rarely is the owner. And so in a strike year, I think it's to a certain degree, you don't want to sit around and say to yourself, you know, what are you going to do for me, as opposed to what could be done? How can I get this done? How am I going to, you know, to be back on the field making money?
And I just think also, you look at it this way, the longer this goes, the longer you have to favor the owners from a financial point of view. I mean, the owners are the ones that can afford, in a lot of ways, to keep this thing going. I mean, they don't have to pay player salaries, so they can continue to keep this thing going. So in a lot of ways, the longer it goes, I mean, no one wins. I mean, let's be clear. No one wins. The fans don't win. The owners don't win. The players don't win. No one wins. And if you look at it, I mean, you're right now, I mean, this is a perfect – football is one of those sports that's all year round in a lot of ways. I mean, the season ends in February. Then you have free agency. Then you have the draft. And then you have the OTAs and the mini camps. And then you're in training camp. And there you have it again. The season started again. So, but now, I mean, it's quiet right now, and all those things mini camps, OTAs, it's quiet. The draft has came and it's gone. Quiet, no negotiations going on. Free agency has not started. Nothing to talk about there. So this is not, it's always an opportunity for your league to kind of stay in people's minds, fresh in people's minds, year in and year out. After the season, I mean, you, like I said, once the season ends, you go into free agency, you go into all these different things, and you're still talking about the NFL. Now you don't see that. People like, I'm not really talking about the NFL that much. I don't see a lot of people talking about the NFL that much. And granted, when it's all said and done, once the football players come back to the field and the games have started and the games are going, everything will be fine and people will come right back in. But right now, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet. Too quiet, if you're a fan of the NFL. I mean, it's just too quiet at this point. It just has to be too quiet. It's just too quiet. It's not good.
Well, that's why I think, Paul, you know, this league is, as you said, too quiet is a good analogy. They're not talking. They're not really making progress. And if you're these teams, if you're these players in these teams, I really I would worry, like you said, it doesn't look like this is going to end quickly. And some of these players are putting their career at jeopardy by sitting around and instead of being in training camps and being in mini camps.
Definitely. And, again, the longer it goes, I think you have to favor the owners because, again, they have the most money. Let's get a player's perspective about this lockout and everything. We are now being joined by free agent offensive lineman who played for the New Orleans Saints last season, Jermon Bushrod. Jermon, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing very well, doing very well. And, Jermon, right now we have this lockout. As a fan of the game, it's something I hate talking about. But as a player, how do you feel about this whole situation?
I mean, it's a very unfortunate situation for all parties, you know, front office, players, and definitely the fans because, you know, they're taking a major hit because, you know, this is, you know, just like it's our livelihood, it's the fans' livelihood as well. So, you know, with this whole situation, we just got to let it run its course and things will get worked out, you know, in due time.
And right now, Jermon, you are free agents. The Saints have tendered you. But basically, without a CBA, you don't really know what's going to happen. How frustrating is this for you?
I mean, it's very frustrating. But, you know, all you can really do at the end of the day is go with the way, you know, things are going and just work on things that you can control because, you know, as a player, I have no control over you know, the owner's decision or with the whole CBA or anything like that. So, you know, we just got to continue to grind day in and day out, control things that we control, and then when everything works out, you know, then it's time to get to the table.
And you were at the workouts organized by Drew Brees with some of the Saints players. How did those things go?
The workouts have been going great, man. I definitely appreciate the leader that we have in Drew Brees. You know, for him to take time out of his extremely busy schedule for everything that he's dealing with to coordinate everything with Tulane University to have all our guys there and living arrangements and all this good stuff. So, you know, it's definitely great to have a leader like that and all the guys are coming there and we're getting good work done. It's kind of like, you know, we're just trying to emulate what we would be doing in mid-May.
Right. And you've been on record as saying that you are a free agent, but you've been on record as saying you would like to return to the Saints. When this lockout thing is all said and done, do you see that happening?
I believe so. You know, I've loved my time in New Orleans. I'm very anxious to get back to, you know, playing football with the guys, and you know, I would love to be a Saint.
And right now, Jermon, you are a Virginia guy. You played at Towson State. Baltimore Ravens, would you be open to going to Baltimore and playing for the Ravens?
Well, you know, you always got to be open to new situations, but, you know, you can't really worry about one, you know, another situation until the door closes on your current one. So, you know, I'm going to try to focus on doing everything I can to, you know, being with the black and gold this year. But, you know, I think it'll happen. You know, I want to get back to playing football, but, you know, it'll all work itself out, and we'll figure out, you know, what the future holds.
We're talking to Jamon Bushrod, offensive tackle. He's a free agent now, but more than likely when it's all said and done, he probably will return to the New Orleans Saints. He played for the New Orleans Saints last season. And speaking of the New Orleans Saints, Jamon, you guys won the Super Bowl back in 2009. Winning the Super Bowl, it had to be great doing it for the fans and doing it for yourself. Talk about that.
I mean, that whole situation was unreal. To give those fans in New Orleans a reason to smile day in and day out after everything that they've been through and all the devastation that they're going through now. You know, for us to be able to do that 2 years ago, and you know, it's definitely been a blessing. That whole year was an amazing ride, and it was fun, man. And you know, I've had the opportunity to obviously win one, and you know, got to try to work to get back there because it's a tremendous feeling.
And we talked about you guys winning the Super Bowl. Last season, you guys were the defending champion. Talk about how difficult it was each and every week. You had the bullseye on your back. You were getting the best effort out of every team that played you.
Absolutely. You know, day in and week in and week out, you know, we definitely got every team's A game. But, you know, it's the NFL. It's never a letdown. But, you know, you got that Super Bowl hanging over your head, so it's kind of like more of a priority for more teams to come in there and knock that crown off. So, you know, it was tough. Last year was definitely tough. But, you know, you got to live and learn and continue to get better and continue to fight the way that we fought last year.
And you guys, last year, you guys were 11-5. You went to the playoffs. You were the wild card, and you lost to the 7-9 Seattle Seahawks. In the NFL, every loss is a bad loss. But looking back on that game, how disappointing was that loss?
That loss, you know, that hurt. I mean, that hurt a lot, especially being that we beat that team in the regular season. But, you know, going into that game, it was definitely a whole different situation. We understood Seattle was a good team at home. They have a great crowd, and we didn't really go into that game with our full arsenal, but with that being said, we had chances to win the game as a team, and we just came up short.
We're talking to Jamon Bushrod, offensive tackle. He played for the New Orleans Saints last year. Currently, technically, he is a free agent, but more than likely, he will return to the New Orleans Saints. Now, Jamon, during this time, this lockout, a lot of people are doing a lot of interesting things. You got Ocho Cinco riding the bull. You got other players getting degrees. What have you done to keep yourself busy during this time?
Well, my first move was, you know, just getting back into training. And I actually had the opportunity to be on the other side of football and coaching at back at Towson for a couple weeks, just helping my offensive line coach, John Donatelli, helping out those guys and kind of, you know, trying to help them out but helping myself out as well because, you know, I see the same mistakes that I make in and out of practice. So, you know, me telling these guys things to do kind of helped me as well. And then, you know, after that was said and done, I was definitely training every day in Towson and back in New Orleans. And then I followed that up. You know, I've been working hard on my charity, trying to get that up and going, my Visualize the Rise charity. Got a couple of events coming up here in June that, you know, I'm actually back home now trying to, you know, spread the word a little bit more.
Talk about those events.
June 17th is my first annual Visualize and Ride Golf Tournament. And, you know, the whole, all proceeds from that event will be going towards book scholarships for kids in my hometown of King George County and surrounding counties. And the next day I'm holding a youth football camp in my hometown of King George County. So, you know, we're just looking to have a great weekend and just looking to get back to the community. And I actually have a couple of Saints players coming with me, so that's going to be great.
And how big and how important is it for you to give back to your community? Because we hear a lot about the negatives about the athletes, but how big is it for you to give back to your community?
I mean, I think it's extremely key because, you know, my community, you know, kind of made who I am today, you know. So, you know, I want to do everything I can because being in the NFL is such a blessing to me. I want to do what I can do to give back to these young kids that's coming up. You know, a lot of kids are in a lot of different situations, and it's not all about being a professional athlete, but just carrying yourself the right way. And I just want to continue to just help these kids out and just let these kids know that the community is behind them in whatever they do. So that's just my whole mindset about it.
And that's a very good mindset. You're doing a lot of great things in the community. Make sure you keep it up. And, Jermond, on this show, we like to play a game called Who's Better. I got three topics for you. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Who's better looking, Beyonce or Rihanna?
Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I definitely have to agree with you on that one. What's the better TV show, The Wire or The Game?
The Wire, by far. I'm actually rewatching it right now, so I got to go with The Wire. The Game, that doesn't even come close.
You don't like The Game?
You talking about the show on BET, right?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm more of a Wire type guy.
Okay, we'll keep you to that. You're The Wire. Better store, Walmart or Target?
That's a tough one, man. I'm going to have to go with Walmart, man. You really can't go wrong with a Super Walmart, you know?
So we'll go with the Walmart. And I have to agree with you on the Walmart. I mean, there is nothing like a Super Walmart. And you're in there, you want to buy one thing, you come out with 10 things.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I try not to go. You go in there for groceries, you're all over the place. You end up with a TV or something.
Basically. Jermond, where can we find information about you, sir?
I just, you know, with all this charity work going on, I just got my website up. It's www.jermondbushrod.com. You can actually follow me on Twitter, J_Bushrod7475. And you can also follow my charity organization. It's at Visualize N Rise, the letter N. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about everything that's going on.
Make sure you support this man. Make sure you go to his website, JermondBushrod.com, and make sure you check him out on Twitter. Make sure you check him out. He's doing some big things and some great things in the community. Jermond, I want to go back to the lockout now real quickly. Do you envision a scenario where games will be missed?
No, I don't think so because, you know, the owners and the players and the fans have got this game to a point where it's so great, it's just such a part of life. You know, it would hurt a lot of people if we started missing games, especially in the NFL. So, I don't think so. You know, we're just very anxious to get back out there and play football. But I can't see us really missing games. But you know, we're going to do everything we can on our end to get things done, and you know, so are the owners. So we need to, you know, that, you know, work everything out so we can continue to play.
If this thing goes longer, I mean, you are a free agent now, so it is kind of a different situation for you. I guess if the lockout, and let's say the lockout ended in July or June, it would be like a mad dash type of situation in terms of signing free agents, signing everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever the storm passes over, you know, myself and I think we have the highest free agents this year. You know, myself and everybody else is going to be wanting to talk. Same with, you know, the 31 other teams. So it's going to be it's going to be quite interesting once this thing's all set.
Definitely, and Jermond, it was definitely a pleasure talking to you, sir. We'd love to do this down the line, sir. Make sure you come back, and good luck with your charities, and good luck with all you're doing in the community.
I appreciate you taking time to have me on, man.
Jermond Bushrod, free agent right now, but when it's all said and done, I believe Jermond probably will end up back in New Orleans, but it was a pleasure talking to him. And make sure you check out his website, JermonBushrod.com. That's JermonBushrod.com. Check it out. It's got a lot of things, a lot of great things going on in terms of his charity and everything. So make sure you support that. Make sure you support everything that he's doing. Good guy, and we wish him nothing but the best of luck going forward. And hopefully we can get some football and get everybody back on the field where they belong. I mean, like I said before, a while back, you get tired of seeing Mike Vrabel in a suit. You get tired of seeing Jeff Saturday in a suit. You want to see these guys in the right suit. That's number 63 for the Indianapolis Colts, Jeff Saturday. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see these guys in suits, and you know you get tired of seeing Goodell and all these guys. I mean, let's get some football. Let's play some football. And that's what we like, and that's what we all enjoy. I mean, this court stuff, in and out of courts, and all this other garbage and mess. I mean, it's just a tad annoying at this point. Are you a little annoyed?
No, and you kind of mentioned too. The other thing that's interesting is players like this that are more representative of the league. I mean, Jeff Saturday, a Peyton Manning, a Drew Brees. That's the face of the league, but these are the players of the league, and I think you get a chance to see how frustrating it is for all the players. I think he made a couple of really good points about, you know, how lucky he is that Drew Brees is taking time and certainly helping their team continue to evolve and play well by setting up these practices where certainly that's not necessarily a player's responsibility, and he said, you know, he's lucky that his teammate was able to do all that. When a lot of these teams, they don't have some of the players, they don't have the luxury of having a name, you know, like a Drew Brees that can have these things coordinated on behalf of the team. So, but it's getting it's certainly not just getting old. It also is it's unfortunate, you know. I think this league is too smart to continue to let this happen for this long.
And ultimately, I said it before when this thing started, that their games will not be missed, and I stick to that. Games, I don't believe, will be missed. I don't think they'll be missed. But you never know, and it's always that possibility. But I just cannot envision the scenario. And granted, the way they set the schedule up pretty much just in case games are missed, and so they put some provisions in the schedule. But, I mean, it would be suicide to the league. I mean, it's granted, people will come back when it's all said and done, because they always do. Everybody talks a good game. Oh, I'm not going back. I'm done with these guys. They're high paid, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But when it's all said and done, they always come back. People always come back, and people always talk trash. I ain't going there no more. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. Shut up. You're going back. If they come back to the field, you're going back. You're going to watch. And I'm going to watch, too. I'm going to watch. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm watching. When they go back on the field, I'm going to watch.
Well, and everybody is, and I think that's the you're right. I mean, as much as we want to believe, like you said, that we're not, and we don't believe that we're going to be there. We will. When it's time, we're not only going to be there, we're going to be happy to be there. But for right now, I mean, it's certainly it's getting tiresome. It's getting frustrating. It's getting annoying watching a lot of the players sitting around or going to charity golf events when they really need to be, you know, starting to play.
And so are you going to, when it's all said and done, you're going to put your jerseys back on and you're going to put your fantasy team together and you're going to watch?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, if you don't watch, I mean, then really what are you talking about? I mean, how much you want this to work and why do you want it to be missed? I mean, otherwise, it's just, to a certain degree, you're no different, then who cares? But if you say that, then you're lying. I mean, obviously you care. Obviously you want it.
Definitely, definitely. And I think when it's all said and done, we want football, and we will be watching football. And sad story, I don't know if it's sad per se, but Roy Jones Jr. just got knocked out today in Russia. 10th-round knockout, apparently a brutal knockout. He was knocked out cold, and his face crumbled, and his face hit the mat face first. He hit the mat face first, and Roy Jones, you've lost 3 of your last 4 fights. You're getting older now. You're in your 40s. It's about time. You don't want to – I mean, from what we know, he doesn't seem to have any financial issues, but you never know. But the guy continues to fight and continues to move on, but goodness gracious, you're going to get yourself hurt. I mean, you've been knocked down brutally at times. I mean, Glenn Johnson knocked you out cold. Tarver knocked you out cold, and then you got knocked out cold by Danny Green in Australia. And, well, you were knocked out cold by Danny Green, but you were knocked out. And you, now you are knocked out cold by Dennis Lebedev in a cruiserweight battle in Moscow, Russia. So how long do you continue doing this, Roy? I mean, you're going to get yourself hurt. You're going to get yourself hurt.
Well, and the thing is, and you know, you never want to see a boxer, especially in those sports, where they're remembered for these fights, where I mean, it can tarnish a career, you know, because, like you said, I mean, that was a nasty knockout, and he's had a, you know, he had a great career, but now he's, you know, it's starting to fade the other way, and you don't want a boxer to certainly sit in a ring for this perceived money, but he has this, you know, he has a contract with HBO. He does the broadcast and does a fairly good job at that. And I mean, to me, sit back and take that money and live to talk another day. And don't wind up like you know, a punch drunk guy sitting there shaking for the rest of his life when you know, you don't need to do that.
Right, and again, from what we know, he does not have any type of financial issues. From what we know, I mean, you don't know. Obviously, you don't know what you don't know. But from what we know at this point, he does not have any known financial issues. So he's pretty much going for the love of the sport. But at this point, if you continue to go at it and continue to get in the ring, I mean, he's at cruiserweight now. I mean, he's going up at a higher weight. Those punches hurt a little more. Those guys hit with a little more power. He's going to mess around and get himself hurt. And he's going to mess around and be punch drunk. I mean, Roy Jones is a fairly articulate guy. And like you said, he does a great job when he does the HBO broadcast. I mean, he's witty. He knows the sport of boxing. And like I said, he's a fairly articulate guy. But if he continues down this road of stepping into the ring with guys that he has no business stepping in the ring, Roy Jones doesn't need to step in the ring with anybody at this point. I mean, he really does not need to step in the ring with anybody at this point. And judging by what I'm reading right now, I mean, he had a pretty decent fight. He fought pretty well in this fight, but I mean, the way he gets knocked out is just a little scary. Getting knocked out cold, it's always a scary thing. I mean, the reality in boxing, anytime you step in the ring, you can die in that ring, and that's just the reality of the situation. It doesn't really get any real than that. You could literally die. You're the one punch you take could be your last punch. And so,
yeah, I mean, and not just that, you know, you get to a point in your career where, you know, you got to remember your body has taken a lot on, you know, to fight. And you got to really start at some point. You really need, in my opinion, ask yourself, is it worth it? Is what you're doing to your body, is it worth the risk and the hassle of continuing, you know, in these fights?
Definitely. I mean, that's definitely the big thing there. And you just almost hope that Roy – it's not like Roy's winning fights. I mean, he's lost 3 of his last 4 fights. So it's not like he's winning. If he was winning, then I can understand him continuing to fight on, like a Bernard Hopkins. But if he's not, since he's not winning, this really just doesn't make much sense at all. I mean, it just doesn't make sense at all. The second hour of Go For It starts now. Second hour, Go For It is now. Coming up during this hour, we have Styles G. White. Styles is a free agent right now, but he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season. And also we have a street baller, Kit Kat, who's going to stop on by, talk some things, talk about the street ball scene and whatnot. So that should be very, very interesting. We have that all coming up during this second hour of Go For It. And the first hour has been great. Jermon Bushrod stopped on by, talked about a lot of things going on in his situation right now with the lockout and everything. And speaking of that, I mean, guys are trying to find ways to stay busy during this lockout. Like I said, Ocho Cinco, he's jumping on bulls and whatnot and playing soccer and what have you. And last night, Ray Edwards of the Minnesota Vikings debuted as a boxer. A four-round bout that ended with a unanimous decision. And, you know, Ray Edwards, and it was short and it was sweet, but Ray Edwards, he's a guy right now, but he's boxing, and he wants to make a little money, I guess, and keep himself busy while the lockout is going. But Ray won the fight last night. He did win the fight, unanimous decision for Ray Edwards. So maybe Ray Edwards could become a boxer at this point. I mean, he has some time right now. And you got, what, Tom Zbikowski, another guy who's been boxing during this time, taking advantage of this time and finding new and different things to do at this point. I mean, he scored knockdowns in the first, and he scored knockdowns in the fourth round. So he did a good job last night. He got the victory. He got the victory. And he's keeping himself, ultimately, he's keeping himself busy, I guess.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm going that far. I mean, you know, I think it was for these players at this point, I mean, it certainly makes some sense. They certainly... like you just said, they have to at some point, they should at least at some point, we should say, want to look at and do other things, as long as it's, you know, they should be careful. I mean, certainly you don't want to go into the boxing ring and, you know, get yourself hurt. But by the same token, I mean, you know, sitting around and making no money for some of these players is an unfortunate reality. They're not going to be able to do that. So, well, you know, that being said, that Paul, they do need to recognize, and I'm sure some of them are, they got to make a play, so to speak, as you know.
And Ray made a play, made 5 G's last night for his victory. he's got a second fight coming up with a 2-bout deal. We'll see how that goes. I mean,
Well, here's the question, though, Paul. I mean, the real question is, I mean, is that worth it for you? I mean, if you're a professional football player, is that $5,000, is that putting you in the ring?
Yeah, but are you as his promoter and his matchmaker, are you putting him up against anybody that's going to be a threat?
Yeah, but Paul,
I mean, obviously not.
So it doesn't matter. What if it was MCL? I mean, what if he just, you know, tripped and bang, and knee goes out? I mean, to me, for $5,000, I'm looking at it as there would need to be baby mama situation for me to tell. You know, to tell my player, okay, that's something that I'm going to look at as a reality. Otherwise, I mean, with all due respect, it's a formality. You're not stepping in the ring, period. I mean, if it's money, you know, okay, a couple mil, you know, we'll look at this. But other than a couple million dollars, I mean, that's craziness.
Well, I mean, again, he earned 5 G's last night for his work, 4 rounds of work, 12 minutes of work for Ray Edwards. He did drop the guy 2 times. He knocked him out in the first, knocked him down in the first, and knocked him down in the fourth. So he did do some work in that fight.
Well,
5,000 plus 50% of the gate.
Yeah, okay. The gate, Paul. Like, it's what? So he made 7,500.
Well, maybe. You know, we don't know how much more he made, but we know this. He did make $5,000 for 12 minutes of work. It's pretty good. What
so,
a country.
Okay. You know, I guess I stand corrected. I would have thought Paul Gant would have said not for $5,000. I mean, to me, it's to make $5,000 to put, you know, to put NFL Jeremy in the ring. No, there's just it's not for $5,000. You know, maybe I'll go to the fight, make an appearance, sign a couple autographs, but NFL Jeremy, you're gonna need to put at least 2 more zeros on that $5,000. At least 2 more zeros.
Well, then NFL Jeremy probably will never step in the ring because I don't think anybody's out there going to pay you.
Well, NFL Jeremy is, you know, to a certain degree, you know, NFL Jeremy looks at that and says, exactly. I mean, then NFL Jeremy isn't meant, you know, he don't come cheap.
Well, very obviously. I mean, you're talking around a couple zeros. I mean, we're talking now 500 G's at this point just to get NFL Jeremy into the ring.
Well, you know, but NFL Jeremy will knock some people out.
Well, NFL Ray Edwards knocked a couple people, knocked him down twice, one in the first, one in the fourth.
Yeah, but Paul, I mean, but NFL Ray Edwards, and that's what I'm trying, I mean, I'm being honest, I mean, we're joking around, but I mean, I think you have to see that. I mean, to a certain degree, Paul, I mean, look at this and say to yourself, this is, it's asinine. I mean, you're talking about what, Paul? You're talking about this is a guy who, you know, he's an NFL player. I mean, $5,000, you could make that. He could have gotten an appearance fee for that.
Maybe at a club or something?
Or at a church.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, I guess you're right, but I mean,
listen, if it was something this man always wanted to do, then we're saying, you know, he gets a chance to fulfill his dream. My contention is, at that point, I would really be a little bit more, I would caution him only, or any player, right now saying, you know what, like I've always wanted to, like Chad Ochocinco, I always wanted to go and play football, or soccer, which is the football in Europe. I mean, but that's stupid. I mean, because again, here's an NFL superstar. I mean, that game again, you tear your MCL. At his age, his career could be over. For what? So he could be stupid and be on SportsCenter?
Well, maybe at this point he grows his profile a little bit.
Yeah, his profile for nothing. Again, I mean, this lockout isn't. You don't see Jeff Lurie. In a boxing match, I think you have to look at these things and say to certain degrees, I mean, this is stupid.
Well, yes, but I mean, I guess guys have to find some way to, they got a lot of time on their hands. So when you have time on your hands, you have to find something to do with that time. And one of the things that individuals can do during that time is going to the ring and, you know, and try for whatever reason to live out a dream, fulfill a dream. I mean, he may not get this opportunity again. So, I mean, a lot of people say you only live once. So if you only live once, you know,
well,
you're going to try to live it.
Yeah, that again, that's an even dumber argument, and I will say that, and I mean that. That is truly, you know, to me, you know, if that is the case, then that is, like, literally the dumbest thing I ever heard, because Little Ones is spectacular, spectacularly stupid, because, again, for what, Paul? Living once for what?
Well, living once to...
But you're an NFL player. Where and when, as an NFL player, do you come out and not start to say to yourself, again, you're an NFL player, when do you come out and say, you know, I got to make some decisions? Where when we're beating up Ben Roethlisberger for making bad decisions, but, you know, do we not want to beat up, you know, a boxer who's not a boxer? I mean, whether he won or not, was it a smart decision?
Well, that's a question only in a lot of ways Ray Edwards can answer. I mean, people have dreams, aspirations, goals, and things they like to do, a bucket list, if you will. And maybe that was on Ray Edwards' bucket list. Maybe Ray Edwards said, you know what I want to do, and I have this opportunity to do it at this point, I want to box. And so right now I got a lot of time on my hands. I ain't playing football no time soon. I ain't going to no camp, no OTAs, no mini camps, no nothing at this point. So I got some time on my hands. You know what? Let me step into the square circle and fulfill a dream that I've always had. And that's essentially what he did. I mean, that's essentially what he did. He tried to fulfill a dream. But I see what you're saying. I mean, what you're saying, I think, is a very legitimate point. I mean, you look at it, it's you go in there, and it's happened to boxers. They've torn ACLs in the ring. They've torn MCLs. I mean, they've done some damage to their legs in the ring.
And what about a broken hand? You know, or broken finger? I mean, this is stupid. And the strike gets settled in a week, and now you're missing time or a shoulder rotator cuff injury, or something. You know, you do maybe not get knocked out, but you get hit in the eye and you have some damage to an eye ligament. To me, you know, it's just not worth. These are the same players, Paul. Remember that during when the season, if there wasn't a lockout, I mean, it would be prohibited in his contract, most likely to be out there in a boxing ring. These players are, you know, they have those clauses in their contract where it prevents them from doing playing in organized. Certainly not. You know, if they were playing a game of basketball with their children or in a pickup game. But it does prevent them, due in large part, to do things like this for this very reason.
Yes, I mean, it's definitely, you're taking a risk, obviously. The risks are definitely real. I mean, these are legitimate risks that you are taking when you're stepping into the ring.
You look at this and you say to yourself, and I mean it, you need to look at this and say, I'm telling you, Paul, I mean, as a player, for the money, while, again, people say, oh, you know, it's all about money, and it is. I mean, period. It's all about money. These players are here for one reason, and one reason only, period.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, again, the risks are real. Like I said before, they are real risks. But let's think about it, though. Do you honestly think that his matchmaker or promoter, I asked you this question before, I'll ask you, do you honestly think that they would put him in the ring with anybody that would be, like, a problem?
No, but, Paul, I'm not worried about I'm not worried about the opponent as the problem. And I say that mainly because, to me, it's not the opponent you're worried about. It's the risk of injury to the player. And so, to that end, I look at this and say I'm not worried about, you know, him beating or not beating his opponent. I'm more worried about what would happen to and what would have happened to him, you know, at the point of, well, he gets injured, over the fact that maybe this guy goes out there swinging, you know, and again hits some cracks a nice little, just a jab, but it does something to an eye ligament. Or again, he's they get tangled, and he slips on some sweat and down. And like you said, Paul, it's certainly one of boxing's more hidden injuries, which is they do get knee injuries quite often, and a lot of times they actually will happen in the training camps, not necessarily in regards to in a fight, but it has happened. There's many fights that have been stopped, and I certainly would have wanted that to be me.
I wouldn't want that to be me either, and then go back to your regular job, your real job, and then go back to your real job, and ultimately you can't perform your real job because of what you did off the field. And that goes for anybody that's working a 9-to-5 day in and day out. There's some people, they're not going to play basketball anymore. They're not going to risk playing basketball or tackle football at a certain age because guess what? They got to go to work on Monday. And so if they get hurt out there, that could affect how they do their job and how they make their money. So if you look at it from that end, go ahead.
One of the things, because you're going to see, we're all going to see this more. And we were talking about this, you're going to see some of these players right now. I mean, they're bored. We talked about this. The strike is getting boring. The strike is getting old, and essentially, to them, it's just it's a change of pace. And there was, I'm sure he's thinking, like you said, the promoter isn't putting him in the ring, with a Tyson. Anybody of any note, you just raised a good point. I mean, at a certain age, you get some, just people saying, I can't afford, my job is worth too much money for me to go have to spend a day in the ER, so I miss work, I'm going to be on the cane and this and that, but I'm in sales, making six figures in a difficult economy. I'm not taking the risk right now of losing that to a stupid basketball injury or a flag football injury. So, tell all the guys, I'll talk to them a little bit later because right now, I need, my job is more important. And to me, if you're an NFL player, it needs to be under the same auspices.
Definitely. I mean, your job has to be more important. Your job does have to come first. And then so – with that being said, I mean, Ray Edwards, Tom Zbikowski, these guys are getting into the ring. These guys have been successful. Zbikowski is 4-0, and Ray Edwards is 1-0. And so right now, they're combined 6-0, so right now they're undefeated. And everything is everything. Everything is good for them. I mean, it's a good situation for them, I guess. Everything is good. And speaking of everything being good, Bernard Hopkins, 46 years old, and looking like has the body of a 21-year-old man. I mean, this guy is amazing. He's 46 years old, and tonight he gets in the ring with John Pascal, a guy who stopped by here to talk about that fight. I mean, that's going to be a big fight for Bernard Hopkins. Bernard is hoping to become the oldest heavyweight, the oldest champion of all time. I mean, he wants to eclipse the record by George Foreman, who won his heavyweight belt at 45. Well, Bernard is 46 years old, and if he can win a light heavyweight belt against John Pascal tonight, Bernard Hopkins will have eclipsed that record, will have broken that record, and would become the oldest man ever to win a championship belt. And he has a legitimate shot. I mean, a lot of people thought that Bernard had won that first fight between these two, that fight that ended in a draw. A lot of people thought Bernard won. A lot of people thought Bernard won that fight, but that fight ended in a draw. And Bernard now has an opportunity now. The fight will be in Montreal. The fight will be on HBO. And there's some interesting facts I found on Bernard Hopkins. I saw it on ESPN.com. I mean, Bernard Hopkins, we all know Bernard Hopkins spent some time in jail, but when Bernard Hopkins entered Greaterford State Penitentiary back in 1982, guess who was born then? John Pascal, the guy that he is fighting tonight. That's very interesting. Another interesting topic, when John, not topic, but another interesting thing, excuse me, when Pascal was 12, Hopkins won his first title back in 1995. I mean, a lot of interesting things coming out of this. I mean, Bernard Hopkins' career has spanned 23 years, 7 presidential terms, and 11 Olympic Games. I mean, this is, and if you look at the population of the world, that's changed too during this time. The population has doubled since Bernard Hopkins was born back in 1965. It went from 3 million to about 6 million. And when Bernard Hopkins was born back in 1965, Lyndon Johnson was the president. I guess I say all that to say Bernard Hopkins is pretty old, and he's still boxing. 46 years young, and he's still in the ring, and he's still doing it at a high level. Now, Roy Jones Jr., this is a guy in Bernard Hopkins. If you want to talk about fighting, Bernard Hopkins, in my opinion, should continue to fight because Bernard Hopkins has not had any vicious knockdowns, has not had any, has not taken a lot of punishment. Bernard Hopkins is still a very competitive fighter, and Bernard Hopkins should still keep fighting. But I guess in a lot of ways, when you're at the age of 46 and you're stepping into a ring with a 27, 20-year-old man in a boxing ring where you could die, I guess in a lot of ways you could be tempting fate. I mean, you're 46 years old. You could be tempting fate. Jeremy, is Bernard Hopkins tempting fate at this point?
No. I mean, listen, he fought well in his last fight. I mean, let's look at, as we were talking about Roy Jones Jr. and Hopkins. No, I mean, certainly, is he getting to the end of his career? Yeah. But is he tempting fate? No, he's fought very well in his last fight, and he has a very good chance of winning this. And, in fact, you know, I'm sure you and I in a couple of minutes are going to go out there on a limb and pick, you know, who we see winning this fight. And I don't think anyone has said, you know, Hopkins is not just through. People may say, listen, he's getting older or he's vulnerable or Pascal has a chance, but they're not saying this is a – you know, this is a formality by any reasons, and unless you'll be the first one that I've heard.
Well, I mean, he is 46 years old. He can only box for so long. At some point, you're going to get old in that ring. At some point, you get old, and it can just happen just like that overnight. It could happen. So what I'm saying is this. Do I think Bernard Hopkins may be testing fate? I would have to say yes, I think he is. 46 years old. You are 46 years old. This is a young man's game. You can die in boxing. I mean, at some point, Bernard Hopkins will get old. Most boxers don't go out on top. They keep coming back and keep coming back. A lot of them don't know when to say when. Now, Bernard Hopkins has said if he wins this fight, he's probably going to fight Chad Dawson or the winner of Chad Dawson's fight. He fights Adrian Diakonu in the undercard of this main event. So he's saying that if he wins, he's going to continue. At some point, Bernard, you're 46 years old. At some point, you're going to get old. And it happens just in a flash. We can snap the finger, and Bernard Hopkins is old. It can happen. I mean, boxers have turned old overnight. Sugar Shane Mosley, if you saw his fight against Pacquiao, he couldn't pull the trigger. He couldn't do nothing in that fight. He couldn't do nothing. He could not do anything in that fight. And granted, Bernard Hopkins, his last fight was impressive. Sugar Shane's last fight was not as impressive. But, he is 46 years old. You cannot discount. I don't care how much technology, how well you take care of yourself. I don't care. At some point, you get old. Will it happen tonight for Bernard Hopkins? That's the question. Is Bernard Hopkins tempting fate here? And I say yes. I think he is tempting fate in a lot of ways. But do I think Bernard Hopkins will get injured in this fight? I don't think so, no. but he is tempting fate.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of shocked to hear you say that. And the reason I think that, Paul, and I mean this, he's by no means, by no means is Hopkins, I would use that term, tempting fate. He certainly, any fighter tempts fate when they step into the ring. So,
true.
To say that, I mean, it's very open-ended.
But you look at Bernard, I mean, yes, any fighter can, but would you acknowledge that boxing is a young man's sport, is a young man's game? Sports in general are for young people.
Sure, but Paul, okay, that being said, and that's a great analogy, and I agree with you, but again, I mean, when you look at where Hopkins is in his career, he's not on the. I mean, is it on the downswing? Of course, it's on the downswing. But I mean, come on, give him a break, Paul. He's fighting very well. I mean, he's not at a point in his career where you have to look at him and say that you'll see. Well, we'll see tonight. I mean, and I guess at this point, then my question to you is: so you're not. You're not so high on Hopkins tonight, then.
Well, I'll say this. I love Bernard Hopkins. I mean, he's a Philadelphia guy. I'm a Philadelphia area guy. I'm a big fan of Bernard Hopkins. Let's not get that twisted at all. I'm a big fan of Bernard Hopkins. But I will say this. Bernard Hopkins did get dropped 2 times in that fight against John Pascal. Granted, one of them was an illegal shot. Granted, one of them was an illegal shot. But the second one was a legitimate knockdown. John Pascal did drop Bernard Hopkins 2 times in that fight. Over the long haul of that fight, though, Bernard Hopkins was the fresher man. Bernard Hopkins was the guy down the stretch who got it done. Who got it done, and a lot of people thought who should have prevailed in that fight, who should have won that fight. But at some point, you get old. We can't be forever young. At some point, we all get old. I can't do this. I'm 35 and I don't feel like I can still do the same things I can do that I did at 21. Actually, I can't. I'm a freak like Bernard Hopkins. But, you know, I think at some point you get old. At some point you get old. Bernard Hopkins, 46 years old at this point. John Pascal, a guy who has a lot to prove in my mind. I mean, I think he's a guy who really wants to show everybody that first time around that he should have got the nod. Actually, he said the draw was the appropriate decision. But he wants to prove this time around that he's legit and that he can get it done and he can beat Bernard Hopkins. A lot of animosity between these two. John Pascal came on this show and talked about how much he hated Bernard Hopkins. I mean, you see all the press conferences and everything, and John Pascal has said he doesn't like Bernard Hopkins. Bernard Hopkins has said the same thing about John Pascal. But I think when it's all said and done, Bernard Hopkins has to get old at some point. And unfortunately, I think he's going to get old tonight against John Pascal. I like John Pascal to win this fight tonight.
That's, Hopkins, he deserves the, I wouldn't say the criticisms, but he deserves the doubt. And certainly, Pascal fought well. I'm going to say this. Based on what you're seeing inside of Bernard Hopkins, and based on the fact that, you know, he's out there wanting people to watch this fight, what would concern me more, and why I will say I agree with you, is what we heard about 2 weeks ago and last week with Hopkins and all the hoopla that is this fight. Too much talking. Hopkins is normally – he's a big promoter, and that is always – but he's normally not this talkative, and I think it's more – this is more fluff than I've ever seen for Hopkins, so I'm concerned in that regard.
But I got to stop you for a second. Bernard's always been a talker in my mind. He's always a guy who's kind of talked a lot and during his time as a fighter. So I think I'll disagree with you there.
Well, but Paul, not about things that aren't fight-related. I mean, he's certainly, to me, last week, that was – it was certainly, you know, maybe to get people to focus on the fight. But where I look at this is, I mean, if I would have been Hopkins, coming in the fact that he was dropped, he decidedly, I thought, lost that first fight. And I would have expected Hopkins to really not do much talking. There should have been, to me, not much of a need to do a lot of talking. And because he did, I question that.
Definitely. I mean, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. I just don't think I think tonight Bernard turns old. He gets old on this tonight. He gets old tonight. He definitely gets old tonight. And I like John Pascal to get it done. I like John Pascal to get it done. And I like John Pascal to get the victory tonight. John Pascal has a lot to prove, and I think he's going to prove it. He's got the home crowd behind him in Montreal, and I think he's going to prove it. Pascal tonight, unanimous decision. How about yourself? Split decision, excuse me.
No, I told you, I agree. I think split decision, I'll say this. I won't be surprised if it's a, you know, later round TKO for Pascal, because I think that that Hopkins in the last fight, he's not showing that he can withstand a barrage. It could go very bad one way or the other. And to that end, if I was if I'm Pascal, I would try to hit him early, get him tired early, and see what happens, you know, down the line. But I think it will certainly be Pascal tonight.
So you like Pascal tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to say too, I was impressed with him when he came on the show. He seemed very focused.
We shall see. Hello, you're on Go For It. Hello?
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 How you doing? This is Kit Kat.
Kit Kat, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. We're joined by street ball legend Kit Kat. And Kit Kat, I got to ask right away, man, how'd you get the name Kit Kat?
I got the name Kit Kat several years ago, maybe when I was around 16, you know, growing up at the parks around my way, just breaking people ankles like Kit Kat bars, you know what I mean? So I went there one day, dude was like, yo, you breaking kids' ankles like Kit Kat. You know what I mean? At first, initially, I was like, nah, that sounds kind of funny, you know what I'm saying? But then I started going back to the park, and everybody started calling me that. I mean, just based off what I was doing on the court. So kind of just
and
stuck.
Kit Kat, you've been breaking ankles in the streets of Florida, and you think about Florida, you think about street ball legends, Kit Kat. You think of places like New York, you think of places like Chicago, but a lot of people don't talk about street ball in Florida. Talk about the street ball scene in Florida.
There's really no street ball scene in Florida. That's the reason why I stood out so good. You know, I mean, at the time that I did. You know, I initially got discovered around, I think, 16. You know, I dropped my first video on the internet. And, you know, at first, I guess everybody thinking I was like everybody else and thinking the same thing, New York, Chicago, Cali. Then they found out I was from Florida and I started dropping more clips. Then they realized something was really unique about me based off where I grew up at. I mean, I live in Florida, which is basically a football, track and field state.
Right. And Kit Kat, I mean, I've seen some of your videos on YouTube, and you do a lot of work. You got a lot of DVDs out there. Talk about the process of putting together a street ball DVD.
Well, I never put out a DVD myself, but an actual video clip, I mean, basically all you need is the footage. You know, everywhere I go, every game, any event that I have, I always have my camera, you know, because you really can't rely on
right.
others to provide the footage for you. You'd be waiting forever, or they want something in return afterwards. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, to put out a clip, it's nothing. Like I said, it's your camera, you need time, focus. You know, so you make sure you drop the right material at the right time, you know. And that's it, man. You know, just I do this. I've been doing it for years. You know, I love doing it. I love dropping new footage, you know. This is what I do.
So talk about, though, Kit Kat, from the you mentioned everywhere you go, you bring the camera. I mean, in terms of the practicing, or how does the moment happen for you? When do you know something big's going to happen?
As far as in games?
Well, not just in games, but the moves, you know, when you watch some of your videos on the YouTube, you know, when you're able to make a nice little play there, is it do you do a lot of rehearsal, like in terms of practice, to think about what you're going to do next, or is it all spur of the moment?
It's all spur of the moment. You know, I mean, it's all about improvising when you're on that court, because you have a set move in your head that you want to do, but it doesn't mean the defender's going to play you that way. You know, you have some people that give you the left, some people give you the right, some people play you head on, you know, so you can't really say, you know what, he's going to give me the left the next play. You get what I'm saying? So it's all about improvising and breaking the D down to the way you want them to stand or pose for your next move. But like I said, I'm in the gym two or three times, you know, let's say, sorry, two or three times, hours-wise, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe 6 days a week, you know what I'm saying? So like 2 or 3 hours a day, get in this practice, you know, and it all makes perfect once you go on that court.
And Kit Kat, what's the craziest thing you ever did with a ball?
My favorite, making dudes fall. I love making that. See, when you make somebody fall in the game, it's like in the NBA when, like, you know, somebody dunk on somebody, it's equivalent to that. There's no better feeling than making somebody fall. I mean, you can do the tricks, it looks nice, you know what I'm saying? But when you drop somebody on that floor, it's the best feeling in the world.
We're talking to street ball legend Kit Kat. And Kit Kat, right now, if you look at the street ball scene, and one, which was on ESPN, kind of that thing is kind of dying out a little bit. How's that affected the street ball situation?
Well, to me, not at all. I mean, I'm 26 now. I've been playing street ball since I've been 15, 14. I mean, just because the show isn't on no more doesn't mean the love that I have for it has died. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't just do it for me. Like, I do it for the kids. I do it for the crowds. You know, I love traveling, I love entertaining people. You know, so, I mean, just because the shows are off or some of the past players not, you know, out there anymore doesn't mean, I mean, it affects the love I have for it. You know, I love doing it. And I'm going to probably be doing it till my knees give out on me, you know, just because that's how passionate I am about it. You know, so, and so God willing, I'm going to be playing some 55. You know what I'm saying? So that 401k kick in.
59 and a half. Not 55 will be early withdrawal penalties.
Oh, now, Kit Kat, you said you're 26 years old at this point. Has there the goal ever been for you to play organized basketball on
not
any
really
level?
I could. I mean, I've got like several offers, you know, to play for like different colleges when I was growing up, or a few even people looking at me to do some leagues and stuff like that. I would like to do it, you know, I still would do it, but just the love that I have for this particular part of the game, you get what I'm saying? Probably won't, well, I know for a fact it won't allow me to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love basketball, period. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm a real basketball player. I just don't go on the court just trying to hit some off the head of go between the legs, you know, to make me to look fancy. You know, I love basketball, period. You know, but just, like I said, my heart is into street ball. You know, I love entertaining crowds, you know, so that's just it, man.
And Kit Kat, you talked about you have your camera with you all the time. You got your camera on now?
Yeah, I got it right now. my mini HD camera. See, I don't use the tapes no more, so I got this little bad boy like maybe a couple of weeks ago. So it's so small, so it's in my pocket all the time, you know. I'm not used to HD, so I'm out of act right now. Yeah, really excited about it, man.
And definitely, I mean, we're excited to see you doing your thing out there on the court. I mean, you do a lot of different charity All-Star games as well. Is that kind of your opportunity to kind of show people what exactly you can do?
Absolutely, because majority of the time, with some of the charity games I've done, you know, there have been, like, free charity games, meaning, like, they'll bust a lot of kids in from, like, different YMCAs or schools, you know, and it's free. I mean, who wouldn't come see something that's free, you know? So that's really the best opportunity when the gym's packed, you got all these kids, you know, probably seen your face on the flyer. So when you got that time and that spotlight's on you and, you know, you have to be good as advertised, you get what I'm saying? And there's, I'm not saying some second chances, but every game, any game could be your last game, you know. That's why I go on the court, I give it 100%. You know, people came to see your show. Even if it's like 5 people or 2,000, you know, they came to see you play, you know. So I love it, and I'm never going to stop, man. Like, as long as the kids are still smiling and want to see your show, I'm going to keep on doing it.
One of the things you had mentioned, I think it was certainly interesting, is you felt compelled, I guess, to mention that you are it's a real basketball, and it's certainly interesting. I think that streetball is starting to become, and especially with YouTube, things are certainly you can catch like a wave now because of technology. Is it becoming for you important to, when you have that video camera with you, quickly upload it, get keep yourself moving, if you will, on the net to make people aware of how real the sport really is?
Well, I just honestly started thinking like that because if you're looking at that clip that recently dropped, Labor Kit Kat highlights, those are like several different like states, different games. You know, those are like kind of like a compilation of some of the games I've done over the last couple of years. But I'm not that dropped, and I kind of got a buzz now when it comes to street ball. Like, anything I have now, I got to at least wait 2 games and put out a nice, 2-minute clip to stay relevant. You get what I'm saying? Because
right. It's
just like music. You're only as good as your last hit, they say. So, I mean, it's just like basketball, because I can have this buzz now, but then 3 months later from now, it could be somebody else, Then it's like, what happened to Kit Kat? Or it's all about this new guy now. You get what I'm saying? So, right after the clip, I dropped a vintage clip, which is basically, me at the, at some of the gyms around here, like indoor ball, no crowd, just me playing 21 or some team games, just some unreleased footage. And something just to keep people, aware of me, what I've done, not just those games. I'm going to be doing the same thing because I have, like, years worth of footage. Like, I have so much clips on my hard drive that I'm going to be dropping stuff left to right next couple of weeks. I have a couple of games coming up. Like I said, every 2 or 3 games, I'm going to release a clip. Just like I said, just to stay relevant.
And Kit Kat, are you eating off of street ball? I mean, do you have a job, or is this your job?
Nah, this is not my job. I have a job, but I mean, I do profit. I have been profiting off of street ball. Like I said, a lot of the games I do are charity games, nonprofit organizations. So I mean,
right. If
it was, I honestly get that question get asked a lot. How do I feel about not getting paid on some games? My mom kills me because she hates that I go and travel and do these games, and some of them are for free. But I mean, because that's for a better cause. You know what I'm saying? But if I didn't have a job,
yeah.
I mean, I definitely, I don't know if I've been played in less games, or what. But I mean, I get what I can. But like I said, it's not about the money. It's about, I'm saying, entertaining the crowd and giving people a show.
And Kit Kat, I mean, a lot of people out there believe that this whole street ball thing is scripted. What do you say to those people?
Not at all. All I say is, if you think it's scripted, just come out here. Next time you see an advertisement of a game, whether it be me, N1, Hot Sauce, anybody, just go out there, see if you can sign up for the game. And it's definitely a different world. It's the feeling of standing in them stands and watching the game is totally different from when you put your 2 feet on the hard when you're playing defense. It is not scripted at all. Not at all. No. All thing I do is come play some D. Sign up for the game and you'll see. I mean, all thing I can tell you is going to be in the next clip, my next clip, if you step on that court against me.
Kit Kat, it's interesting. You mentioned your mom, and people get upset that you do this stuff for fun. But I'm sure there's a part of you that's starting to realize. And again, I'll go back to the YouTubes and these internet clips that if enough people see this, it to be noticed and go from 0 to 50, if you will, it can happen like a Corvette engine. And the fact that, you certainly are, you're young enough and certainly you have the skills, who knows where and what will happen to, the street ball mentality. And as Paul said, especially from the fact that predominantly this is of a New York and Chicago, nexus, and you bringing it to the South can certainly for you put you on the map quicker.
Right. If something happens, don't get it wrong. I would love to profit off of this. You get what I'm saying? But I'm not one of those type of guys that say, hey, if I'm not getting paid for it, I'm not doing it. Not at all. Only thing I ask for is if there's a way that you can get me out to the game, take in my hotel, I'll do the game for free. Like I said, I've made a lot of money. I won't say a lot of money. I've made some money. You know what I'm saying? I've got paid for a lot of my games. But like I said, I've done equal amount of games for free as well. You get what I'm saying? But, I mean, hopefully if somebody sees this, like what they see, so I'll take anything, man. I'll even sign to Shaq, and nobody wears Shaqs, but I'll sign a Shaq brand, anything, man. Give me a job, man. I'm trying to profit off this, too. You know what I'm saying?
And Kit Kat, we definitely want to see you profit off of this thing. I mean, where can people find information about Kit Kat?
Yeah, my YouTube account, Kit Kat Florida's Finest. You can find me on Facebook, Famous Kit Kat Jones. My Twitter, at Famous Kit Kat. You know, just hit me up, man. Any information, my clips all over the place. World Star Hip Hop video drop, over 300 something thousand views. You know, my YouTube account has a lot of footage that people haven't seen, so it's definitely good that they go and log into my YouTube account, Kit Kat Florida's Finest.
And Kit Kat, definitely we want to see you make some money off of this and get a profit, basically. Now, Kit Kat, on this show, we play a game called Who's Better. We got a couple questions for you, sir. Are you ready?
Yeah. I'm
Which
ready.
State has the best street ballers, Florida or New York?
Florida.
Okay.
Nah, all right. I'm only joking. Of course, New York.
Kit Kat, who has the better handle, Kit Kat or hot sauce?
Kit Kat.
Okay.
Kit Kat.
Who's better, Kobe or LeBron?
LeBron.
Think LeBron James? Why?
Well, I pick LeBron. First of all, I'm a diehard Miami Heat fan. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and right now, I mean, I don't know if you guys are paying attention to the last couple of games. LeBron is eating right now. He's eating everybody up. And, you know, Kobe's home fishing. So, I mean, that tells it all.
And LeBron's been very clutch of late.
Yeah, he is.
We got another question for you, Kit Kat. What's better, Kit Kats or Snickers bars?
Damn. That's a tough question. That's all day. I'm going to go with Snickers. I definitely go with Snickers.
Over Kit Kat?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even like Kit Kat, to be honest with you. You know, they just don't have a guy for the ball. I don't eat that kind of stuff, man. But, I mean, I like my Snickers here and there. I get a little sugar rush.
And we got a bonus one for you, Kit Kat. Who's better looking, Rosie O'Donnell or Monique?
A who?
Monique.
I guess Rosie, Paul.
I'm going to go with Monique, man. I'm going to go with Monique. Damn.
I'm going to agree with you on that. I think Monique does look better than Rosie O'Donnell. I actually think Monique is actually all right, but that's just me. But Kit Kat, today, May 21st, this could be the end of the world. So if Kit Kat had 24 hours to live, what would Kit Kat do?
Go to the gym and play basketball.
That's it?
Go to the gym and play basketball. I'll tell you what, out of 24 hours, I spend half of my family, hit the pool, go to the beach, sunny Florida, and spend the rest of it playing basketball. So there you go. Two things I love the best, basketball and my family. I'm satisfied.
There you go. If the world were to end today, which I obviously don't think it will, but you never know. If the world does end today, Kit Kat, he says he's going to play some ball and just live it up and just play ball. So, again, Kit Kat, give us the information. Where can we find you so we can get some money off of this thing?
And my Twitter account, Famous Kit Kat. My Facebook, Famous Kit Kat Jones. Sorry, Kit Kat Famous Jones. And my YouTube account, Kit Kat Florida's Finest. That's FLS, Finest.
Okay, everybody, there you have it. You have the places to see this man. I mean, I look at his clips on YouTube. This guy can get it done. He's got a nice little handle, and he's breaking ankles. And like the Kit Kat breaks, he's doing it. Kit Kat, keep it up, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, and let's talk about it again.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Take care.
You too.
Kit Kat, street ball legend. And Kit Kat, I mean, he's doing big things on the street ball scene. And you brought up a good point, Jeremy, in talking about the opportunities that's down there down south, being that, again, a lot of the big-time street ballers are in Chicago, a lot of big-time street ballers are in New York. And so you that's a great point that you bring up. I mean, he has an opportunity to basically tap into an untapped market.
Well, I mean, you see how the internet has changed a lot of this, and to a certain regard, I mean, this is it's a different type of basketball, and he made that clear, and I appreciated the fact that he certainly recognized that this is not, and he is not trying to compete or make this traditionalized basketball. So, you know, I think it gives it's a different flavor. So, and to a certain regard, if you watch, you know, what he does and these kind of players, it's very entertaining. You know, it's certainly something that that to me it will caught my eye. I mean, very few people I think can do that. Even some of these NBA players that have the control of the basketball. I mean, you withstanding, of course, Paul.
Well, I can do some things with the basketball, but I don't think I can do some of the things that Kit Kat can do on the basketball court. But again, man, you know, you hope that he is able to tap into that market, that untapped market down south, and make some money off of this thing. Make some money off of this thing, definitely. I mean, if you want to make money off of the thing that you love to do best, and the thing he loves to do best is play basketball, and he says if he had 24 hours to live, he would be on the basketball court playing basketball. And, And by the way, Jeremy, who's better, Rosie O'Donnell or Monique?
Paul, you're crazy. I mean, how are you going to compare, a woman who is not into men and a straight woman? So, let's hope tonight is the end of the world, Paul, because I'm tired of dealing with you.
So I guess we got your answer, Monique, I guess by default. But, speaking of that, and, each and every week, somebody's got to be stupid, and we like to hand out the You Stupid Award. And my person, my nominee for the You Stupid Award is anybody that believes that the world will end today. I mean, you got to be the most dumbest, stupidest, craziest, ignorant person known to man to think that this world is going to end today. This world ain't going nowhere, at least not today. I don't know when it's going to go, because no man knows the time or the day. I don't know, and I don't claim to know, nor will I ever know. I don't even want to know, to be honest with you. But anybody who believes that this world will end today, and or the rapture will come upon today, and God will take some people or whatnot, anybody that believes that, you're dumb, you're ignorant, you're crazy, you need help, and quite frankly, you're stupid. And this man, Harold Campin, who predicted this thing about 7 years ago, 1994, no longer than that, that's about 16 years ago, 17 years ago, excuse me, my math is all jacked up. But anyway, he predicted the same thing back in 1994. And guess what, everybody? The world has made it to 2011. Oh, well, that's so amazing. Wow. Everybody, if you believe that the world will end today on May 21st, 2011, you got problems, you got issues, you need help. And I can help you at 646-727-3070. But anyway, you need some help. And quite frankly, anybody that thinks that this world will end today or October 21st, as he says, you are stupid. You're stupid. Jeremy, your nomination for You're Stupid this week.
Well, growing up as a kid, Paul, I think one of my favorite movies was Commando. I mean, I'm sure we all watched the Terminator series. We watched a bodybuilder go into the movies and then become the first governor. And he was soon to spin off a comic series called The Governator. He was about to run into the movie theaters and blow it back up with another Terminator and more sequels. And then 2 weeks ago, him and his wife, they separate, they're divorcing. And this last week, we find out that Governator Schwarzenegger spawned a love child 15 years ago from his maid. I mean, that's, who lived with him for 12 years. I mean, that's got to be a little awkward. I mean, here you are walking down the hallway, telling the maid, more toilet paper is needed in bathroom, and by the way, how's the kid doing? And by the way, I'll see you later tonight, baby. But geez, man, for this to happen now of all times when he's about to break the bank, you got to put a hat on that. Ladies and gentlemen, listeners far and wide, if you're going to do that, strap it up, or snip it off, because otherwise, man, you are stupid.
So you're I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, let's be honest, that was not very bright on his part.
Wow.
It's just not, it's kind of despicable in a lot of ways. I mean, this chick is in your house. She's cleaning your bathrooms and cleaning other things. I mean, this is just
she might be, you know, licking a lot of things, Paul, not just, you know, not just, you talk about rim jobs, she may be cleaning a toilet rim and then down on the other
well,
rim.
I mean, this is a family show. We'll stop that right there. But, you know, hey, it's just mind-boggling that an individual would really risk himself like that. And, I mean, this chick is living in your house. I mean, it's crazy. All you can say, it's pretty crazy. I mean, there's no getting around that. It's just crazy. How stupid can you be to do what Arnold Schwarzenegger did? That's just plain dumb. It's stupid. So you have an Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a nominee for You're Stupid this week. And also anybody who believes that the rapture is today and on May 21st, 2011, you are absolutely, positively, 100% dumb, crazy, deranged, ridiculous. You are 100% stupid. There you have it. You stupid for this week. Arnold Schwarzenegger and anybody that believes that the rapture will happen today. I mean, come on. Come on. Don't be so dumb to think such a thing. Don't be stupid, and please don't be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, Jeremy was a beautiful PSA in a lot of ways. A public service announcement to those
no.
people out there who plan on or trying to cheat on their wives and do unsavory things with other women other than their wives. A, don't do it. That's A. B, don't text it. C, use some kind of protection. And D, if you're not going to use some protection, get it sniffed so you don't make babies. I mean, that's the perfect public service announcement for anybody out there who is planning on doing something as devious, as deceitful, and as despicable as cheating on your wife or cheating on your husband, because women cheat on their husbands too. So women can be equally as despicable, if not more despicable. But but anyway, just be careful out there. A, again, let me repeat myself, A, don't do it at all, please. B, if you are going to do it, just use some kind of protection. And if you are not going to use protection, get it snipped. But don't be stupid. Don't be like Arnold. And, you know, Arnold, I probably said to that young lady, I guess it was his maid, if you will, I'll be back. And he kept coming back, and he kept coming back for more and more and more. And ultimately, Arnold is in the situation that Arnold is in today. Wow.
Well,
I mean it's,
you know, the saddest part, Paul, and I mean this genuinely. I mean, it's not the fact that you expect these men, you know, expect, you know, the governor to handle his business on the side, but. Man, what in the world do you do? They said that child was born 5 days after his one son. There is something wrong with you. I mean, to be that brazen. I mean, to me, that's taking money out of your mouth. I look at it strictly financially. As it was always my thing with Tiger, was being stupid with his own money. I mean, don't worry about these side joints like that. Just, you know, hit it. As the wise man Paul once told you and I, hit it and split it, man. Hit it and split it.
Well, again, if you, like I said before, I'm not a proponent of cheating on any level, but goodness gracious, you just got to be smarter and think smarter, not work harder. Think smarter.
Exactly.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. But we want to thank Jermon Bushrod for stopping by. Make sure you go to JermonBushrod.com. We also want to thank Kit Kat, streetball legend in Florida, doing his thing. Make sure you follow him at Twitter @FamousKitKat. and support his thing. He's got a lot of great videos on YouTube. He's doing his thing. The man can – he has a great handle. He can dribble the basketball, and he can play the game of basketball. And you love a guy who's out there trying to – is passionate about some things, trying to make a name for himself. And make sure you support Kit Kat. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pGant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pGant, where you can listen to this show and other shows. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gant. See you later. Take care. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter. Go for it, Gant. See you later. Take care. We'll see you next week. The world ain't ending. Bye.